Peter, there's one here, and I probably will just do some more in this segment. There's one here I find very interesting. It says, Corey, I'm tired of hearing the lies spread about Trump. I am going to send you a screenshot from a random Trump supporter about the achievements. I can't read all, it's pretty long. It says, Donald Trump created the Platinum Plan, a plan for black communities that includes labeling the KKK a terrorist organization, making lynching a federal crime, hate crime, making Juneteenth a federal holiday, putting $500 billion in the black community, making peace agreement between Israel and the UAE. And it goes on to list a lot of things. The big pharma, bringing down these prices of pharmaceuticals, et cetera, et cetera. It goes on and on and on and on and on. And the person says, with Trump, America finally has a leader who cares about their well-being. He is a nationalist, and every country would do better with nationalism. America has been founded on Judeo-Christian values. If America fails, the rest of the free world will go with it. Trump's opponent is the globalists and the communists. His brand of politics is not attractive because he's not a politician, and that is why he was elected. People are fed up with the lies, false promises of career politicians. So earlier you had said that you didn't understand why people support a leader such as this, and I believe that that particular WhatsApp may be give you some light into the issue. What say you?
No, I mean, she's bought in, or he, whoever it is, they're bought into a narrative that is part of the whole Trump narrative, and I mean, they have swallowed it lock, stock, and barrel. And they just take as an example, the WhatsApper presumes that he has solved the situation in the Middle East. And that's basically what they've said, when the reality is that he hasn't. But he certainly has convinced them that he has. And I think it's clear that Trump has been able to convince enough people that that WhatsApp is true. And that's the basis of his success. But there are some of us, thankfully, that are going to look beyond the shallowness of a statement like that and will look for true meanings. I frankly am happy that we do not have a leader in Barbados that is anything like Donald Trump. And long may we survive. Though I don't think we've ever had a leader that is anything like him, and I certainly hope that we never get to that stage, even in the worst of times. Worst leader that we have, and I'm not going to name that person, was better than Donald Trump.
I want to tag on this question and go back to the lines. It says, good morning. Can you ask Peter what he thinks have led to the emergence of leaders such as Trump, Boris Johnson, and the guy in Brazil?
No, I mean, that is an interesting question, because clearly we are in a time where the nationalist call appears to be something which is simplistic to people. And if you look at what happened in England, Boris Johnson's emergence was related to this belief that the current European situation was not good for England. And Boris Johnson essentially latched on to this whole idea that by pulling England out of the United Kingdom, that they would be able to get some forward. And that's been the basis of his success, that he was a tolerable Brexiter, and he was able to come forward at the right time, and he has been able to deliver that. The fact that the whole story of why being in the UK was a problem was fabricated, and the fact that he's creating more problems by pulling the UK out, is irrelevant to people who believe that mantra. And I had the painful experience of having conversations with friends of mine who were Brexiters and trying to understand the very, very simplistic logic. But and you got to come to a point where you respect people who have those views, and you have to appreciate that they're also entitled to hold and express views like that. But in many instances, their thought process does not go beyond saying, I had something yesterday, I don't have it today. If you say to me, this is the reason why I don't have it, I'm prepared to believe you. And the person that can convince you of that is the person that you will follow. One of the things I've learned in life is that we learn in politics is that in life, things are never that straightforward. But unfortunately, the vast majority of people, you know, are more committed to the day-to-day existence, and as a result, they're not going to search for these kind of deep meanings. And that's the reason why a philosopher may have challenges at different times, because most people are not interested in philosophical statements. That was the lesson of the George Bush presidency, because George Bush was a very simple communicator. He communicated simple messages, but ultimately, I think that Trump is essentially a bridge too far to cross, but, you know, we'll see.
All right, read this one and go back to the lines. Good morning, Corey. If you find Trump funny, it says more about you than it said about reality. There's nothing funny about Trump. This election situation is proof that as hard as the downtrodden people will fight for freedoms, the conservative religious establishment will push back. And if they are the ones fighting for dear life, freedom will take steps backward if Trump comes out the winner. Now, I want to say there's certain things that Trump would have said that I don't find funny. When he makes fun of the disabled, when he says, you know, there are good people on both sides, and the list is very, very long. When I talk about funny, one of the things I watch is some of the liberal comedians. When Trump talk about, I'll jump in the crowd and give you a big fat kiss. I'll kiss the men, I'll kiss the women, I'll give you a big fat kiss. And the way he does it, when he talks about the windmills and he's saying, there's certain things he does that for me, I find hilarious. And I apologize if that offends people. But when it gets to the serious issues, this is where I said before in my opening as well, I draw the line. He's a showman and I think that his rallies are very entertaining for his people. I believe that they leave there pumped up after they lock up whoever. Lock her up, lock him up, and they have a ball. I do not think that he is boring to his supporters whatsoever. And that's the point I was trying to make.
Yeah.
20 minutes after 11 o'clock, Brastats. Good morning, you're on the air.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. You know, when certain moderators and certain guests are on this program, it's never a dull moment. And I enjoy certain aspects of this show, especially certain people.
Me too, sir. Go ahead.
One is for Mr. Vickham, but what I'm going to do is going to give you the local one first, because I was on a good time calling. Now, my question is that the back of the drill hall. Can you give any light who responsible for that maintenance of the area, the road, the area how to get into going into the, if it's a park, is it a park? Is it just a gathering position area? If you go behind there, you'll see so much pools of water and so much breeding of mosquitoes could be had around that area. That I would like to know who is responsible for it, and if you can check out the source of getting some sort of filling or something in the road section where cars is perverted every day.
As a citizen, I believe you are doing that right now, because the drill hall, funny enough, when you think about beaches, the beaches, the environments, and I think just up to the what they call the shoreline, then there's another demarcation is the NCC. But that's right behind the Barbados Defense Force. And you know, they do works. And then right across there, you have the Savannah Hotel. And it's definitely in their interest to make sure that they don't have that unsightly thing there to the north of their facility. So between the NCC, the Savannah, and BDF, they should be tripping up over each other to ensure that behind their season improvement, based on this call alone. So calling on the authorities on behalf of this caller to go get her done.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, man, to see behind there. I can remember when I was a youngster, we used to go behind there for picnics and something. We could have sit down anywhere around there. Now there's a lot,
different activities than picnics go along a lot behind there. I understand now. I don't know if you had visited there recently for picnics or other activities.
He may not be old enough to remember. It's a multi-use facility.
Correct.
It's a multi-use, but the road going, when you reach come off the hill, it's ridiculous right down to the entrance where you're going to be Hilton. I mean, come on, they could do something, put some filling in.
This recently, you visited there recently?
Yesterday. That's what caused me the call today.
Okay, you went to a picnic or something?
No, I was just viewing the area after a long time, you know? Just passed through and see how the old place looked after all these years. And when I get to a certain spot, I couldn't go no further because of the amount of water and settlements and big holes. You know, you got to grow any trees and so on to get, you know, to get to one entry next if you're traveling in the area. Mm-hmm. And I was rather shocked to see how behind this is.
All right. I hope that this call definitely can really and truly kind of jolt the authorities into action. And they can actually, between now and the beginning of next year, we can definitely see an improvement. And we will credit that to you, sir, and your call to brass that. So,
I have one for Mr. Vickham. I guess one.
Go ahead.
Mr. Vickham, tell me, when the Americans go to the polls, who do they really vote for? They vote for a president or they vote for a party, a particular party?
They vote for several things. It's a complicated ballot paper in which they vote. They vote sometimes at the state level, and they would also vote at the national level. So the national ballot would also, the ballot would also have choices for the president. They would also have choices to choose senators and in some cases representatives. And then in some cases, it would also have local office holders like the Liberian and the mayor and so on. So there's a lot of different races on the ballots. Some of the ballots also carry questions like, do you believe that ganja should be decriminalized and so on. So their ballots are complicated. But the short answer to your question is that they would vote for the person. They would vote for the president. The parties, I don't know whether the things would carry the designation of the parties, but ultimately they would know that information.
Okay, thanks. But the reason why I asked that question is because the amount of support, whether Trump win or lost, he's getting, it would seem as though whatever he do or whatever he is doing or about to do, the people seems to still follow him.
He's getting Republican support, which is similar to what happens in the Caribbean, where a person will go and get support for the party that they represent. And Trump is definitely getting substantial party support. And indeed, he's getting more party support than a lot of other Republican presidents that they've had in recent times. And there's no question about it. He seems to have outperformed people like George Bush II and so on. So that is a significant point that you're making there to definitely get the party support.
Okay, thanks very much, sir.
All right.
And thank you, too. Thanks for calling. Yeah. Brastats, good morning. You're on the air.
When you go to New York or you're flying in or you're moving in, you see that big statue that they call the Statue of Liberty, which is the biggest lie that the United States has ever presented to the world. The Statue of Liberty was given to the United States from the French government. People of France, they raised the money. And that statue was supposed to represent a desire to flee free slaves. And it stood on the banks and the sidewalk out there in the port. Nobody wanted to pay that because nobody wanted to free slaves. And eventually somebody came up with the idea, hey, let us free Europe from the chains of tyranny, you know, the kings and queens. So we could put that statue up there and make it look like a statue inviting immigrants from Europe. The Statue of Liberty, meaning the liberty of European people to come and be free in the United States. United States is built on lies. Ask any indigenous person, ask any black American about the development of the United States over the past was only around for 300 or 350 years. Built on lies, built on stealing land, making agreements and going back on them, built on making people believe that one thing is supposed to be what is appropriate, the American way, the best way, when in fact they're probably talking about things like, I was on the tip of my tongue. Anyhow, the point is that Mr. Trump, with all of his shortcomings, a white American of means, represents the true face of America. Oh, he says things and he goes back. He doesn't really mean anything. There's no real substance in what he says. That is what American development has always been based on, certainly through the eyes of so-called illegal immigrants, certainly through the eyes of the Mediterranean people who have died and suffered under this notion of they not being able to choose a leader that can lead them properly, certainly in the eyes of the black Africans that have been suffering for all those years as not even human beings, but, you know, the people like the Aborigines in Australia with no real, only in 1965 or 1970 were they really accepted as being human beings. This is what United States has been, and they're still being killed and lynched and everything else. That is why I like Donald Trump, because he is the face of what America really is. I would rather a man like that who speaks, and we know we don't like him. We don't like him not because he's a man, because he represents this, all I have spoken to. The indigenous people have absolutely no voice. They have been all but wiped out. Whereas in a place like Bolivia, there's a guy called Evo Morales who was, you know, you guys talk about the South American, Brazil. You know, and the person in France, and the one there in England, you know, this reemergence of the nationalist neoconservative. But you still got people in these Sandinistas who are still reigning in Central America. I wish that Evo Morales was Central American and Caribbean, because you know where to put him. There are still people who are fighting back. But these people represent the true face of who they represent, and so too does Trump. He represents, I was never a great fan of Obama. Here is a black face. He speaks so eloquently. He responds and inspires Peter Wickham. But he never inspires me, because I knew he was a lie. I am glad that President Trump is a president, because he represents truly what these people are about. And if you want to hate him, you're doing it for the right reasons. That is why I like that. And I hope he wins again. Because if you put a nice, sweet-talking Biden in front there, people are going to say, oh, we got the kind of leader that we want. He inspires me and everything. And America will continue doing the same nonsense that it's been doing for the past 3 years, some other years. That is why I like Trump. And I'm sorry. If I got to stand alone in that opinion, I stand alone. He is the face of America. And he's a face that we love to hate. And it's easy for us to do it this way. And he's speaking about us now. Because if you recognize what America has been about, and the fact that you have people, black people in high office in the police department, who hugging up people for killing black people, who say that they can't find a reason to put policemen in jail because of the way they... My man, give me Trump. Because I hate a black face that will not say and do the right thing for the right reason. I'm very sorry. I'd rather a white man that speaks his mind and speaks to white people, even though you don't like what you're saying, than a black face who would do the opposite and know that he's telling lies. That is my opinion.
Corey, can I respond to Auntie America?
But Peter, that's what you're here for.
I love when Auntie America is in form, and I know that there's nothing that brings out Auntie like an American presidential election. So it's good to hear him in form. I do feel like you're all over the place, Auntie, on this issue, quite frankly, because the question as to Donald Trump's utility, I don't know that is really on the table. What is on the table is questions as to whether or not his policies and philosophies are good for him, good for America, and good for the world. The question I would ask you, though, is do you think he would qualify for a statue?
Oh dear.
If I would qualify for a statue?
If he would qualify for a statue.
If he, Donald Trump, would qualify for a statue? They took down a lot of statues in the South, as they will be taking down Lord Nelson. And statues go up because they have relevance and significance for the population today, not for the ones that have passed on. If those statues that were taken down in the South did not lost their relevance, because the South would have changed in the main the thinking of what these guys have achieved in their lives and what they represented and stood for. Even though a lot of those statues that were taken down were only put up maybe about 70 or 80 years ago. But the point is, at least to demonstrate to the rest of the world that we are not about that. The statues were removed, and that is why Lord Nelson will be taken down as well, too. Donald Trump represents a great deal for a lot of Americans who, to my mind, are wrong-thinking. To your mind, are wrong-thinking. They are not progressive enough. I am very sorry, but the point is, he represents them. If you bring a man with a black face or a man with a pretty face and a nice sounding person who represents them, too, but prefer to speak differently and sound differently, as indeed Obama said, when Bill Clinton left office, the nice sounding Bill Clinton, who put more laws in place to shut down black people, to put them in jail, because I think most of those prisons were built under Clinton as well. And not to mention the Strike Three, Stand Your Ground, all that's Bill Clinton. Huh? Don't, and he would sound so pretty and look so nice, and he's a handsome guy, he could be a movie star. The point is that he did not represent to the public the things that he actually was about. And the same too was about Obama. Obama was there, and all of a sudden, one of Africa's greatest leaders. Greatest, certainly of the last century. The man who was bringing water to the people that lived in the desert. I was trying to be progressive and trying to tell Arabs that we live in Africa. We are Africans now. The man even dressed like an African. And Obama was there when NATO, that had no responsibility in Africa, none. NATO is a European institution. Went there, had that man killed. Obama was there and said nothing about it. He says, maybe it was a mistake that I made. And that is a black person or man that identifies as black. Mm-hmm. I'm very sorry. Yeah. I'd rather Trump any day. And if you put a statue to Trump, and I would say, yes, that statue deserves to be there, because those people are saying to the rest of the world, including me, we don't give nothing but winner. I'd rather an honest, bad person than a dishonest, good-looking person. That is what I'm trying to say. I hope that makes sense to you.
Hey.
All right. Thank you very much. Right. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Peter, you could stay with us probably to the regional roundup. Is that possible?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
All right. Good. This one's for you. Hi. I don't feel Peter adequately answered the question posed by the caller as to whether they voted for party, people vote for party, or the personality. It is entirely possible that depending on the office and the level, whether it be federal, state, or local, that the vote and the candidates vying for the respective positions may cause a voter to vary where they cast their vote. Therefore, someone may generally go Democratic in terms of their voting, may go Republican in relation to another office because of the candidate, the issues involved, etc. So, you know, there's the Senate, there's the House, there's the presidency. People may vote issue, they may vote personality, and I think it's a mixture, but I'm not the expert. What do you think, Peter?
No, I mean, there's nothing wrong with what the WhatsApp is saying, because there's down ballot voting where you vote Democrat or Republican on issues, or there is voting that varies, and certainly when people vote, they have the option to vote person and then vote party. What I thought that the caller was asking was whether or not most people who vote for Trump vote person or vote party. And it's difficult to answer that question without some kind of a scientific assessment. But my sense is that because the personality is weak, in my opinion, and I think in the opinion of the vast majority of people who speak to the issue, he will get a lot of party votes. When we had an election in my constituency, someone, Patrick Todd, ran against Mia Motley. Patrick Todd is not a Trump. But my sense is that a lot of the support that Patrick got in the constituency, what he got hundreds of votes, would have been party support because, you know, for various reasons, I suspect it was not personal support. So that was the point that I was making, that I think a person like Trump is less likely to attract personal support. But then again, there are also people who personally may like him. They may like the fact that he says things that are off the cuff. Anti-America likes him, so he might not be the only person who does.
Excellent. Let's take some more calls between now and the regional roundup. So I'll say good morning and welcome to the next caller. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Good morning, sir. Okay, getting back to Mr. Wickham's comments regarding Trump. Intellectually, I thought that Peter Wickham, as a pollster, was smarter. His bias is shocking. Then do you say that he only watched channels like CNN, MSNBC, and other fake news media? Wow. 99% of them are skewed towards the Democratic Party. Were it not for the fake news media, the Democratic Party would go nowhere. The Democratic Party believes that they own black people and are entitled to all of the black votes. And they know that people get all hyped up with racism, levied at Trump, and their anger increases and causes havoc. Thankfully, the black people are gradually understanding the dynamics with time. More and more of them will see the light and realize that they are just being used as a political tool and will get nowhere under a Democratic Party government. Trump has done more for America in 4 years than Biden has done in his 47 years. As a matter of fact, what has Obama done for America? Apart from the handling of the crash in 2008, he hasn't done anything. Look at Chicago. The gun violence never stopped under his leadership. The poor black people, especially the kids, their lives have not changed. The mothers really, the mother, father, most of them actually. The murder rates continue to spiral out of control under Obama and Biden. Continued. Obama has basically abandoned the people in Chicago, Baltimore, and other predominantly black neighborhoods. I do endorse the WhatsApper who outlined Trump's achievements since in office. And I have to agree with the anti-American caller also. Thank you.
No, don't run. Please.
No, unless you run. Can you not plan to respond to that?
You don't have to respond to me. Everything
you say. Right.
Looking forward to that. Good.
There's nothing to debate.
But no, Peter, you say they understand Corey, how these people think. But here's the opportunity now to get in the head and find out.
She read something that was similar to the thing that was WhatsApp, and I presume it came from the same source. And criticizing you, you're entitled to read what you want to read.
You bring them down, but there are a lot of people.
But can't, Corey, you hear me criticize somebody?
You don't have to shout at me.
You are entitled to believe what you want to believe, precisely.
Exactly,
that's good.
Exactly, but you spent a lot of
propaganda. So I wish you well.
Corey, boy,
I wish you well. For now.
I can't waste any more of my time on Peter Wickham, okay? Thank you. Thank you.
But I can't say she calling. She calling to attack me. But when they said that I ain't responding, she get vexed.
But what an opportunity missed. I wanted you to use your intellect and get into the minds of the persons that think like her to see, to educate the rest of us on how they think.
The reality is that she has demonstrated that the Trump philosophy is alive and well, and it has taken root among some of us because she's a Barbadian and she is comfortable with it. So basically it demonstrates that he has supporters far and wide. All the best to her.
I would like, probably it may be best done off air, but I like to have conversations with persons from both sides and see, you know, I think that will make for an enlightening conversation. All right,
but you know, Corey, you are not going to make any progress with someone who articulates those views. You're not going to make any progress with them.
Wow, that's scary.
And I think that is a reality that I have come around to in relation to not only that, but several other issues that we discuss on the program too. You have to learn sometimes to accept that this is a person's view to which they are entitled, respect the view, and let's let them move on.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. One of the things I was actually thinking about, when you look at the 64 million persons who buy into this thing that people say, you know, it's so vile and all of this, one of the things that we have to acknowledge, and you just mentioned it there, is that, believe it or not, it is their right to actually like that thing.
Of course.
Right, wrong, or in between, no matter how we judge it, they actually have the right to support what they see is best for them. But anyhow, let's move on. Time is a ticking, and we're gonna make the best of it. Brastats, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Wickham. I'm Mr. Peter.
Good morning.
Listen, I got my two number one friends there. Listen, I come up with an idea where we can set up some little niche market and sell them to people. So I would look at least about 1,500 from Peter and a total from Corey. I got the ideas. One behind me, we can get some money turning out for people that want a little market.
So it can't be the other way around?
No.
I got the money at the bench there.
No, the 15 from Corey and the one from me.
He looking at what we are worth and putting it in terms of a fair proportion, Peter. That's the way. So mine should actually be lower, but I would go with it.
But I need a consultant for government. I need an advisor.
You're right. You are a consultant, advisor regionally and now internationally. It's just parochial.
That is why having both of you all in the company, money gets there.
But Winter, you're right, Winter. You're right. That's it for you.
My main point for calling. Call you over calling the government department.
Oh, dear. Yes.
You hear the song that they're playing, right? You know that song, no, this is who we are, no, the whole thing.
Yeah, because...
you getting. Nobody answering the phone, is just getting music. This is who we are, and wrong. It's ridiculous, though. They can take it off.
Responsiveness has been one of my number one issues when it's come to the public service and how can we actually be more efficient in that way. And I believe in the age of technology, there are certain things you could probably go and look at and find out without having to speak to a human being. And I don't think we maximize the use of our e-commerce and our e-government. But at the same time, when you have a phone number, you should have somebody manning it, somebody answering, somebody taking calls or somebody taking messages or getting back to messages. That's what I definitely believe.
Doing now is putting on the play the song, and as we go and listen to it till you put down the phone. That's not good enough.
I think that starts at the top, though. A decision needs to be made at the top. Somebody got to crack the whip and make sure that something is implemented to do that. This COVID program taught me a lot. It is hard work. We had over 16,000 people call into the Adopt a Family program through the Household Mitigation Unit, and we had a phone taking like 10 messages per minute. And to actually get the calls back in a timely manner, we had to get volunteers working at 3 o'clock in the morning. And you would acknowledge that that's not the normal system for any government. So in order for us to do that, we had to go beyond. So government needs to put the resources there for the responsiveness. So when you call, and we need to put other things in place that people can find the information without calling and holding on.
What
so it's a mixture of things that need to happen.
What they can do is people at home, they can get the number transferred, they call the person, let the person answer.
Correct. There's a system for that called Cisco, Jabba is the name of the system. So that is possible. It's a mixture of things that need to be done, sir. There are some people who sit by a phone and let it ring, some skin in the teeth, some gauntlet, some, there's a little bit of that. But again, sometimes it has to do with the volume of calls coming in versus the number of people to take the calls. Yeah? Okay, that music tells us it's time for the regional. I want to take this opportunity, Peter, to give you a big thank you for actually taking us through this first segment looking at the U.S. presidential election. I know you're on Friday. Hopefully, the results will be a little closer to being clear. And I'm looking forward to that. And I must admit, really looking forward to Alvin finishing you off. Have a wonderful one.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much.